Let's go to Revelation chapter 7. As we continue our series in the book of Revelation. Chapter 5, we saw the Lamb of God in a heavenly scene, taking a book that had been sealed seven times, which we kind of think of as the title deed of the earth. And we see him in the process of taking back what belongs to him. That's all creation. It all belongs to him by creation. And the seven seals begins a process of judgment that will take place over a period of 7 years. It includes the seven seals that are broken, seven trumpets that are sounded, and seven vials of wrath that are poured out upon this earth. In chapter 6, we saw six of the seven seals open. We come to chapter 7. By the way, you might ask, why does God bring tribulation upon the earth? Why is it necessary for all these judgments to fall upon this earth? I think there's three reasons. Number one, to wake up unbelievers. Number two, to shake up the nation of Israel. And number three, to make up the kingdom of God. So it's to wake up, shake up, and make up. Like that's the purpose for these judgments that are coming. And events are described like a storm coming upon the earth. It begins with a noise of thunder, an indication that a storm is approaching. And as the events of chapter 6 unfold, we see the storm of God's wrath coming upon a Christ-rejecting world. We saw the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They brought deception, destruction, deprivation, and disease. Things get so bad that the earth dwellers who are going through all this, they flee to the mountains and pray for the rocks to fall upon them. It says, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That's how chapter 6 ends. I think chapter 7 answers that question. Who shall be able to stand? And we're introduced to the Jews that are sealed by God that will be able to stand throughout this tribulation period. Chapter 7 is parenthetical. I told you when we started this, there are certain chapters that are put in here parenthetical to kind of help explain what's going on, not so much in a chronological order, but what's going on behind the scenes. So there's a parenthesis right here in chapter 7 between the sixth seal and the seventh seal. I heard about a boy who was out west on vacation, and he saw some cowboys, and he said, Mama, look at them, they're bow-legged cowboys. Well, she's an English teacher, and she was horrified by his grammar. She said, you go right to your room, and you get that book by Shakespeare I gave you, and you read that, maybe it'll teach you some good grammar. Well, the next day, the boy saw these cowboys again. And he said, Mother, what manner of men are these who wear their pants in parentheses? That's good grammar. Well, what is this parenthetical chapter about? Multitudes of saved people come into view here, probably as a result of the 144,000 that are sealed. Later on, we're going to hear about two witnesses, two super witnesses that will preach the gospel. Then there's the angel who will come preaching the gospel. And I think the result of all this is that many, many people will get saved during the tribulation period. Now, I pre-tribulational rapture, I believe we're gone. We're not going to be here during the tribulation. But many people will get saved. Those who've been left behind that were lost through the witnesses of these we're talking about, many of them will come to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. So let's look at these 144,000. If you want to follow along in chapter 7, let's begin reading with verse number 1. John said, after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And he goes on to mention all these tribes. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Now, we could have done a lot faster, but I think he wants you to slow down and really understand what's going on here. 144,000 sealed, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then verses 9 and 10 seem to be in association with this. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Let's think about this today. Let's think about the sealed servants of God, these 144,000. The world, I'm sure, is exasperated by the judgments that are falling upon them, the sealed judgments, the next, the trumpet judgments. They're looking for a scapegoat upon which they can vent their rage. Just like Nero in the first century singled out Christians to be persecuted, where in the last century, the Antichrist will single out and persecute these Jews and those who come to know Christ as their Savior. Now, God tells us in advance that he is going to seal some and save others during this time of tribulation. And it looks like a great harvest of souls is going to come out of the tribulation. Folks, listen, never has the world been wider unto harvest than it is right now. I'm pausing for an amen. Amen. There's a great harvest awaiting us. Those that need to be saved, those that need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we send missionaries around the world. That's why we need to support them. To bring in this last great harvest of souls. This is not the time to pull back. We need to do all we can to see this happen. If you want to take notes, first of all, let's think about God's providential care for his own. We see in verses 1 through 3. The sixth chapter closes with people of the world acknowledging that God is angry and God is pouring out his wrath upon this world. And first of all, the storm is coming. Note the course of the storm is controlled. God is in control. Don't ever forget that. No matter what we're going through, no matter how bad it gets, God is in control. The four winds speak of God's judgment that is worldwide. All of the events we saw in chapter 6 as well as through chapter 18 involves the whole earth, every nation under the judgment of God. 7 years of tribulation. You note the number 4 here. And in numerology, 4 is seen as the biblical number of the earth. So we have 4 angels, 4 corners of the earth, 4 winds. These angels are given authority to hurt the earth. to bring injury without mercy. They've been given control of this storm of judgment to come upon the earth. They are God's instrument to carry out His mission of judgment. But for a brief time, they are holding back the judgment, holding the four winds, standing on the four corners. That doesn't mean that they thought the earth was flat. Some point, they say, well, here you show that the Bible's not accurate, because back then they thought the earth was flat. Well, we still use this idiom of the four corners over there. It just speaks of the four points of the compass. Amen? We still use that kind of terminology. But here's an angel in the north, one in the east, one in the south, one in the west. They are controlling these winds of judgment that's still to come. So there's the course of the storm controlled, and then secondly, the force of the storm is contained. Another angel is seen ascending from the east, like the sun rises from the east. He's not descending from heaven, he is ascending. And he cries with a loud voice, calling for restraint in this mission of destruction. The damage is to be restrained for a while, so that the servants of God can be sealed, that they will not be hurt or destroyed. They will survive the tribulation. 144,000 Jews will survive the tribulation to enter into the millennial kingdom of Christ. Now, God does that to keep His covenant with Abraham and His covenant with David. He promised that their descendants would be ushered into the millennial kingdom and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a second thought. We're going to pull over and park here a little bit. I want to talk to you about God's personal claim of His own. God, He does not forget His promise to preserve a remnant of Israel for Abraham's sake, for David's sake. He's going to keep His covenants. Two thoughts here. First of all, some are sealed to defy the totality of Satan's secular dominion. The Antichrist is going to take over. He's going to be a world ruler. But there are going to be some who will defy that dominion. These 144,000 that are being sealed. Note their identification. 12,000 Jews from each of the 12 tribes of Israel are sealed with the seal of the living God. 144,000 Jews. Now, there's a lot of people today that claim to be the 144,000, don't they? The Jehovah's Witnesses claim that they are the 144,000. It kind of brought a problem for them, because there's about 8 million Jehovah's Witnesses. And only 144,000 of them get to go to heaven. So they had to kind of change their doctrine. They said, well, the rest will be part of the great multitude that you read about here in chapter 6. So they claim to be the 144,000. The Mormons at the beginning claimed this. The Seventh-day Adventists claimed to be the 144,000. Herbert W. Armstrong, how many remember him? Garner Ted, Herbert W., they had the Worldwide Church of God. They claimed to be the 144,000. Folks, it's no mystery who this is. It tells us they are Jews of the 12 tribes of Israel. So the next time a Jehovah's Witness comes, ask him which tribe he belongs to. Because they're the ones that are going to be sealed. So you have these people that are sealed of the 12 tribes of Israel. Let's think about that. Most Jews today have no idea what tribe they belong to. Now, if you meet the Levites and the Kohens, they know they're of the tribe of Levi. But most people don't have no idea what tribe they belong to. But God knows. God knows who belongs to what tribe. And you ever heard of the lost tribes of Israel? How many ever heard of that, the lost tribes of Israel? Oh, I'm going to educate you a little bit here. Remember that Israel divided into two kingdoms. After Solomon died, his son Rehoboam became king, and Jeroboam led a revolt and took about nine of the tribes of the north, and they became a separate kingdom. So now you've got two kingdoms. The northern kingdom, usually called Samaria or Ephraim, the southern kingdom of Judah, which also included Benjamin and Simeon. So you had these tribes now divided. The Syrians came and defeated the northern tribes and took them into captivity. These are the ones that are called the lost tribes of Israel. It's believed that they were taken away and assimilated into other tongues and other people, and those tribes were lost. And only the southern tribes who went into Babylonian captivity, but they came back. Remember, God brought them back under Ezra and Nehemiah and Zerubbabel. Now, these lost tribes of Israel is a myth. There's no such thing. Actually, there were 13 tribes, by the way. The tribe of Joseph was divided among his sons. Remember, Jacob adopted Manasseh and Ephraim to be his sons. So instead of a tribe of Joseph, there was a tribe of Manasseh and a tribe of Ephraim. So there were 13 tribes. But only 12 tribes possessed the promised land, because the tribe of Levi, which was the priestly tribe, they did not receive a portion. They were scattered among all the other tribes in Levite cities. The cities of refuge were Levite cities. So they were scattered throughout the nation of Israel. And they did not, they had cities, but not a portion of land. When they divided, Jeroboam, to keep people from going back to Jerusalem to the temple, he set up golden calves in Ephraim and in Dan, the northernmost part of the country, and told the people to worship there instead of going to Jerusalem, because he's afraid that over time they would eventually get reconciled with the southern kingdom. So you've got these tribes. 12 tribes received a portion, and the tribe of Levi. Were those tribes that went into Assyria, were they lost? James 1:1, James addresses his epistle to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. James didn't know about lost tribes. He said, there's 12 tribes I'm writing to. Remember Ezekiel's vision in Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones? He saw these dry bones coming together, and he says, this is the whole house of Israel. The whole house. And in chapter 37, verse 16 and 17, he mentions the tribe of Judah and Ephraim being united in the last days. That's what's happened. The tribes of Israel in these last days, they have come back. I found a video that was interesting about all these Jews that have returned to Israel in the last generation. There is a lot of these tribes that were thought to be lost are being identified. I found that the tribe of Dan, the descendants of Dan, were found in Ethiopia and returned to Israel. The descendants of Zebulun, Reuben, Gad, and Simeon were in Afghanistan and Pakistan. They never were assimilated. They kept their identity as Jews, and they returned to Israel. Manipur, this one struck a note. Brother Ginn's in Manipur, east, northeast India. The tribe of Manasseh. The descendants of Manasseh were living there all these years. They returned to Israel. Naphtali and Issachar came from Uzbekistan back to Israel. The tribe of Asher was found in Tunisia. They returned to Israel. All the 12 tribes mentioned have had descendants that now have been identified, and many of them are now back in the land of Israel. Just like Ezekiel said, in the last days, Ephraim and Judah will be united. Ephraim is what they call the northern kingdom. Judah is what they call the southern kingdom. I thought that was interesting. Jesus didn't know about the lost tribes. When Jesus came in Matthew 15, 24, he said, I have come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to the whole house. Remember Anna, who saw Jesus as a baby? It says that she was of the tribe of Asher. Asher wasn't lost. So you see this. The 144,000, God knows who they are. God is going to seal them. And they will survive the tribulation period. And I think what you see here is a reminder to the Antichrist and Satan that every knee will not bow to the Antichrist. Every knee will not bow. God defies Satan's secular dominion here. There will not be a total dominion of the earth. Now, as we're going to see, the Antichrist, he's going to make a special effort to destroy the nation of Israel during the tribulation. He's going to do his best to destroy this nation. Millions of Jews will be killed during the tribulation. But God here promises to preserve a remnant, 144,000. He is going to supernaturally protect these people that they cannot be harmed or killed, and they will endure throughout the 7 years and enter into the millennial kingdom. Secondly, note their preservation. We saw their identification, but he speaks of their preservation. This select group of Jews is chosen by God to provide them with protection and preservation. They are sealed with the seal of the living God. Now, we talked about the sealed book. We understand the seal indicates ownership and it indicates a protection. Today, God's people are sealed. You know you're sealed if you're saved? The Bible says we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Write this verse down, Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. In whom also, after they that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. So those of us that have been saved, we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. That means we're safe. We're safe, we're secure. We belong to God, and Satan cannot tamper what belongs to God. Amen. Amen. Now, here is a mark of God upon the 144,000. And you're going to read about these people again in Revelation chapter 14. Verse 1 says, I looked, and lo, the Lamb stood on the Mount Zion with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. So there's a seal on their forehead. The Antichrist does that too, doesn't he? You ever heard of the mark of the beast? That's coming up. The Antichrist seals his followers, his disciples, on their forehead. So either you can have the name of God written on you, or you can have the mark of the beast. We'll talk more about that later on. But those who receive the mark of the beast are damned forever. Amen. There is no hope for them to ever be saved after they take that mark. Right. So, Brother West, what if I accidentally take it? You better not be here. That's all I can say. Don't be here when that happens. So, a seal served a twofold purpose. To provide preservation and to prevent molestation. They belong to God, they belong to the King, and they cannot be tampered with. So they're sealed. The Antichrist will not be able to harm them. The Antichrist will not be able to destroy these 144,000. Many are going to die. Many are going to be martyred who get saved during this time. But this group is divinely protected and preserved. You remember in the life of Jesus, there were times they tried to take him and kill him. And he just kind of disappears. He just kind of vanishes. I think supernaturally, when the Antichrist and his cronies tried to attack these 144,000, any one of them, God is supernaturally going to protect them so that nothing can happen to them during this time. It's interesting when you look at the tribes that are listed here. Dan and Ephraim are not listed. You don't see Dan or Ephraim being sealed during this time. I said Ephraim and Manasseh were the sons of Joseph. There was no tribe of Joseph, there was the tribe of Manasseh and Ephraim. But now you see here a tribe of Joseph. So Joseph replaces Ephraim in this list. And there's no tribe of Dan. Dan's not listed here. Why? Why are Ephraim and Dan omitted? Write down this verse. I don't have to go to it. Time to go to it. Deuteronomy 29, verses 18 through 21, is a warning from Moses about tribes going into idolatry and what will happen to them if they do. Ephraim and Dan were the first two tribes to go into idolatry. As I said, Jeroboam was of Ephraim, who led in the revolt in the northern kingdom. And he introduced the golden calf worship in Ephraim and Dan, or the two places you could go to worship these golden calves, idol worship. So it's believed because they were the first to go into idolatry, they have been omitted from this. Levi is now mentioned among the 12 because we don't need a priestly tribe because Jesus Christ is our high priest and all believers are priests. You're a priest, by the way. We're all priesthood, so we don't need a tribe of Levi. So he just takes his place among the other tribes during the tribulation period. I think another reason Dan is omitted, if you remember in Joshua and Judges, when they went in and took the land of Canaan, they were allotted different areas. Each tribe was allotted a different area. Dan was given an area which was Philistia. They were to defeat the Philistines and take that land. But they couldn't. They couldn't defeat the Philistines, so they left what was given to them. They went to the farthest north part of the kingdom to the people of Laish. And it says of Laish that these were people that were quiet and secure. But the Danites smote them with the edge of the sword, and they set up their graven image there in Laish. They took a land that was not given to them. God did not give them that land. God gave them the land where Philistia would be. But they took a land not given to them, and they smote a people that God had not marked for judgment. So God's angry with Dan because of this. So now Dan and Ephraim are no longer part of these tribes. By the way, some think Antichrist will come from the tribe of Dan. I don't know why. I need to look into that more. But they think the Antichrist will be a Jew and that he will be from the tribe of Dan. Y'all research that. Get back with me. Then number three, note their occupation. They're called the servants of our God. They're going to serve God in some capacity. They're going to have a role of service during the tribulation period. I believe when Jesus mentioned in Matthew 24:14, where he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come." I got a feeling he's referring to the 144,000. The church has not taken the gospel into every country. There are countries that have not been impacted by the gospel. We have basically failed to keep the Great Commission, the church. The 144,000 will not fail. They will take the gospel into every nation, every kindred, every tongue. The gospel is going to be preached to all nations. Then shall the end come at Armageddon. Then it's going to come. So these 144,000 are believed to be Jewish converts who are saved and become God's special missionaries to go into all the world. It's going to be a great time of evangelism that takes place. Many souls will be saved. We're not told explicitly that the 144,000 win these people, but it seems by logical deduction that that's probably the case. After listing these 12 tribes and these people that are sealed, then we read about so many people getting saved. So if you kind of join them together, it seems like they're responsible for that, for all these people getting saved. So you're going to have a bunch of Jews that are going to have the zeal. Can you imagine 144,000 Apostle Pauls roaming this earth with that zeal and that love for the Lord? I'm going to be watching this from heaven, by the way, I want to see this. But many people are saved. It's not the church doing the preaching. The church's not here. 144,000 are preaching. The two witnesses are preaching. There's an angel from heaven that is preaching. And the result is a great multitude that no man can number are saved and sealed by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad to know that, aren't you? Many are going to get saved during this time. So some are sealed to defy Satan's secular dominion. Secondly, some are saved to deny the totality of Satan's spiritual kingdom. It says some are sealed. It should be saying some are saved to deny the deity. You got the sealed, 144,000. Then you got all these people getting saved as a result of their ministry. Look at where they're standing in verse 9. Here's a great multitude standing before the throne of God in heaven. They're not seated. Remember, the 24 elders that represent the church are seated. These are not seated. They are standing, which means that this is not part of the church. This is part of the tribulation saints who are saved. They wear white robes of virtue. They carry palms of victory. All this is based upon the merit and the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only where they're standing, listen to what they're saying. What they're saying about God's grace. Thanksgiving and praising God for their eternal salvation. They praise the amazing grace of God. Hey, don't you think we're going to be singing an amazing grace throughout eternity? Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like you. I mean, like me. I got to own that, don't I? I just check and see if you're listening. You remember the acrostic of grace, G-R-A-C-E? God's riches at Christ's expense. The grace of God has been shed abroad on us. Not only about God's grace, but saying what they're saying about God's government. They see the Lord sitting on his throne. And they thank him for his righteous government. See, the wicked on earth said, we'll not have this man reign over us. Instead, they choose the Antichrist to let him reign over them. But there's this multitude who gets saved and they gladly accept Christ's reign and look forward to the time when Jesus will personally and physically come and sit on the throne of David. What they're saying about God's gift. They ascribe their salvation to the Lamb of God. They openly proclaim that they are in heaven because of Jesus. We're going to say the same thing. Amen. It's not of works lest any should boast. See, if I can work my way to heaven and earn it, then I can boast of it. I can boast throughout eternity of what I did to save myself. No, it's not going to be any boasting. We're going to praise God because we're there because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. It's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not of works, lest any should boast. Amen. So we're going to be praising God. We're going to be praising the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and gladly look forward to his reign here on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's not going to happen until Christ comes and establishes his millennial kingdom. Then it's going to happen. And thirdly, what they're saying about God's gift. The redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, nobody's going to be there because they earned it. Salvation is of the Lamb. It is of the Lamb. In this relentless march toward Armageddon, there's this pause to seal 144,000 to save those who will believe the preaching of the gospel. But folks, don't forget, we've got marching orders. We've got a commission to take the gospel to every creature. I don't know how much time we got left. I really don't think we've got a lot of time left. Church, if we're going to do this, we better get busy. Amen. We need to do all we can to make sure the gospel is preached throughout the world, that souls will have an opportunity to hear the gospel and believe. These who believe in the tribulation will be martyred. The Antichrist is going to kill them. Many will be beheaded. Last week we noticed under the altar the souls of those who were martyred during the tribulation. So I'll just wait till the tribulation. If you guys disappear, I'll get saved then. Well, maybe you will, maybe you won't. Some think that those who have heard the gospel before the rapture and rejected it will believe the strong lies of Satan when he comes. See, the devil's going to explain what happened to all these Christians that disappeared. He's going to have some explanation. I think the reason you're seeing so many sightings of UFOs right now, these are demons. These are demons. You know, you read the Old Testament about the chariots of angels. Chariots of angels. Some of these are fallen angels. And the devil is just preparing the way. He knows the rapture's coming. He knows we're going to disappear. He's going to have a reason. He's going to have an explanation for it. He's going to say, you know, did you notice these people disappeared with those troublemaking fundamentalist Christians? Those dummies that believe the Bible is the Word of God? You know, that's the ones that are missing. Well, God just took them out of the way because they're causing so much trouble. Or an invasion of outer space has come and taken all these people away. And you're going to believe it. You reject Christ now, you won't get saved. Amen. You're going to believe the lie. Yes. Most of the people getting saved are in these countries that have not heard the gospel. Amen. Asia, a lot of these countries, communist countries, Muslim countries, that have not been allowed to hear the gospel. I believe most people getting saved are going to come out of those nations. So don't gamble and think that you'll get saved after the rapture. You might not. You might be the first casualties of the tribulation. You may get killed when the first horse starts riding.